5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Crockers. Happy afternoon. This is your cancer survivorship bus driver, Dr. Tommy Anelli, along with Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, happy afternoon. How are you?
Happy. It's so weird to not be sitting next to you, my friend.
It's okay. You know what? Every once in a while, you have responsibilities. I have responsibilities. We have to change our schedule. That's a normal part of life.
Yes, but thank you to Zoom. Big shout out to Zoom. Oh,
thank God for Zoom. That's for sure.
Definitely.
Angel, I have to tell you, the last two podcasts have been so moving. I almost feel emotionally drained.
To say the least. That last
Not to sound like a commercial to our podcast, Croc Nation, but if you did miss the last two podcasts, let's just take a minute and backtrack a little bit. So we had Ramon Ruida, who's one of our patients here, a two-time cancer survivor, tell us his story, which was nothing short of spectacular. Really, you can't make this up. His story really spans decades through the 1950s, the civil rights movement, really the history of the United States, really through his lens, you know, going through all the civil rights stuff, as I said, all of his advocacy, you know, running away from the FBI, being a conscientious objector, then deciding to advocate for minorities to get scholarships to the SUNY programs and going from there and working on low-income housing, many times illegally, and then finally getting the support from the city and the government. And then his eventual, I don't want to give it away, but, you know, his presidential breakfast. I think that was a heck of a podcast.
Not only that, you know, sometimes they say that the title says it all. This surpasses the title. You can't just scroll around and say, oh, this looks good. Not even the cover. If there was a cover to this, you have to be a part of it from start to the finish. And even after we roll the credits on this thing, you almost want a little bit more.
But yeah, and I will warn you guys, first of all, I noticed that cancer survivors, because they've been through more than the average bear, generally are humanitarians at heart. They want to do more for others. This is the kind of person you want to really connect with and really listen to and be inspired by. And more than that, I think that you want to break it down into pieces, because it is a long podcast. And you and I had actually originally wanted to break it up into two parts, but we gave it all because it was just so good. We didn't want any discontinuity. But don't feel bad, guys, out there, if you need to take a podcast and listen to it, because we're giving you a lot of content. You know, many of these podcasts are, you know, over an hour. And I know, listen, it's a new day and age, right? Short attention spans. I get it. I'm doing everything against the rules, but to be honest with you, sometimes you just have to let people go with it, right? Angel, we just let Ramon go.
Yeah, sometimes there's certain episodes that you just cannot cut. You can't edit. And the great thing about our show is that we don't edit. But in this case, you know, like you said, I think, yes, you look at, some people look at a timestamp and they go, wow, this is a podcast that's over an hour long. Okay. But again, you're never going to even feel that. You're never going to even know that the time passed. But like you said, in some situations, people will say, I don't know if I can dedicate in a whole hour. That's fine. Break it up. If you're going to commute and listen, you got a 20-minute commute. Listen, right there, you got 4 days of a powerful message. 20-minute commutes here, back and forth, you're good.
Yeah, well said. And then I was going to then segue into last week's podcast, Dr. Rena Audish. And I have to tell you guys, if you haven't listened to that podcast, you need to listen to it. This young woman really has changed my life through her experience, her near-death experience, losing a child, what she learned about some of the shortcomings of healthcare and our verbiage and our words and how we speak to patients. And actually, what an inspiration. Angel, I have to tell you, a lot of her messages are going to trickle down into other podcasts. So even though we used her podcast last week to kind of her story, her book, As a segue into that article on trust-based partnerships with patients, caregivers, and their health systems, with our friend Dr. Len Berry. But I read her book, and I didn't have the book completely read by the time we did the podcast. I was more focused on the article. But since last Saturday, I actually have finished her book. And there's so much depth to that book. There's so many different facets that we need to kind of crawl into. What do they call it? The nooks and crannies. We have to crawl into this book and her experiences. And actually, that brings us to today's podcast, which we're going to open up a new can of module, right? We used to say as we were kids, we're going to open up a can of whoop-ass on you. Like, hey, cancer, we're going to open up a can of whoop-ass on you at the Croc Podcast. But we're going to open up a new podcast module based on one of the parts of Rena's story. And it's really on listening. And the name of the module is going to be called Tommy, Can You Hear Me? And my name is Thomas, right? Tommy, can you hear me? And do you remember that rock opera? You weren't even born, Angel.
No, the only one I know is the Christmas song. Can you, do you see what I see? So I'm way off.
Yeah. So Tommy, can you hear me? So Tommy is a rock opera that was made by, created and recorded and performed by The Who. You might've heard of that group.
I have heard of The Who.
And it was their fourth album, and it came out in 1969. And it was actually influential to me in my life. That was kind of my coming of age, right? I was about 9 years old when it came out. There was even a movie, very interesting. And I thought, what a great module, because an experience. So Rena's book spoke to me, a particular part of it that I wanted to talk about listening to patients. And then, I thought of Tommy, can you hear me? That would be a great name for the module. And then today's episode, it'll be the first in that module called Hudson Valley Common Sense. And we'll talk about that. And then in addition, it's going to be sort of setting the table for an article by Len and Rena called Making Time to Really Listen to Your Patients. It was published in October of 2017. In the Harvard Business Review. So we'll get them back. Hopefully they'll agree. And if not, we'll stalk them until they do agree. And we'll get them back on the podcast to talk about that article. But this will be the first in this new module on listening. And she mentioned, so in addition to the terrible event where that benign adenoma in her liver burst and she bled out and she lost her baby. And she really did die, to be honest with you. And then they brought her back and then she had a stroke and whatever, she, took her forever to come back. And I'm pleased to report that Rena is doing very well. She gave birth to a beautiful son who's, I don't even know how old he is now, but I'm sure bringing Rena and her husband, Walt, a wonderful, actually, the name of the baby is Walt, actually, I believe.
Really?
Her husband is Randy. Yes. Named after Walt Whitman, of all things. Oh. Rena is a Renaissance person. She's a writer and she's an advocate. And I wanted to say something, how a lot of our podcasts are what's wrong, in medicine and what's wrong with these knucklehead doctors and all the things they do to our cancer patients to make their life miserable. I have to tell you, and again, Rena speaks for herself. She writes for herself. She experiences, memorializes her own experiences, but I'm noticing, I'm watching her, I'm following her on the Twitter and listening to all the things that's going on with her and her colleagues. I think that the new generation of physician, these young docs, I think they get it. I think they really do. And I think she represents that new guard. And I think she's really going to make it. I think she is going to be one of the most impactful physicians. We asked her, the last question we asked her on the podcast was, where do you see yourself in the next 20 years? I think she's going to be mega, mega influential just because of the fact she's basically hitting all the high points, all the things that we need to do, all the things we need to change. And the story that she brought up in her book that I'm going to use sort of as a little microcosm for today's podcast was when all of this happened and she was dead and they brought her back and the baby died and all this stuff. And she's back to work. And then because she had this, they didn't even see these two tumors in her liver. They finally figured it out after, you know, the blood started to resolve around the liver. They noticed these two tumors. They had to take her back to the operating room and basically chop out half of her liver. And because of that surgery, she got all this scarring and she went through all this abdominal pain and multiple hospitalizations and procedures. And to make a long story short, they put some stents in her, you know, to keep those bile ducts open. So, you know, being that they were all scarred down and those stents got infected and she became septic. And she was sitting in, you know, in the holding area, and there was a doctor, and she knew she was septic, and she knew she didn't have a lot of time. I mean, how many times can this poor person, you know, come close to death and nobody's listening to her, right? Wow. So she's like, you know, telling her doctor, hey, I'm septic, you know, you need to get me to the ICU. And the doctor, I don't know whether the doctor looked at her and sort of generalized her as, or condescended to her or pacified her as a woman or as a physician, but it was kind of like, it's okay, sweetie, you'll be okay. You're just being anxious, you know? And I don't know whether he was saying that to her because she was a woman or because she was a physician, because as physicians, you know, we think we know everything, you know, but in any case, he didn't listen to her. And of course, once again, you know, in the 11th hour, they have to rush poor Ren into the ICU and they have to take care of her. And then she gets the antibiotics and has an anaphylactic reaction to the antibiotics. And then she almost died in the elevator. So we're really trying to kill you, Renna. I mean, we're doing everything possible to try to kill you because I guess nobody wants your story out, but that's going to be what we're going to talk about today. Awesome. Is listening. And Renna, you brought out something really interesting, paraphrasing one of our heroes, right? One of the pioneers of medicine, Sir William Osler. Sir William Osler, for those of you who might have heard of him, was a doctor who lived from 1849 to 1919. Check out this for one of his accolades. He was called a first baronet. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds so cool. On the Croc podcast, moving forward, Angel Santana has been promoted to first baronet of the Croc podcast.
Wow. I'm excited. I was actually so cool. I had to turn my air conditioner off.
Yeah. Don't be too excited because it may be something bad. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like kind of royal, like the Duke of Windsor, like the first baronet of the Croc podcast. That would be you. So I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to give you six things about Sir William Osler, first baronet. He was one of the four founding physicians at Johns Hopkins at the hospital and the medical school. He created the first residency program, which is the training program. So he took the students out of the lecture halls and brought them into the patient's rooms. We consider him the father of modern medicine. He was considered the greatest diagnostician, meaning he would be able to see a patient and be able to diagnose their illness. And this was in the days before MRIs and CAT scans and things. Check this out. His great-grandfather was a pirate. Like, he didn't dress up as a pirate for Halloween. The dude was a pirate. Like, how cool is that? Like, my great granddaddy was a pirate. Like, I can't say that.
None of us can say that. Who could say that? Yeah. What does your dad do? He's a doctor. Mine's a pirate.
My great grandfather was a pirate. And he also developed the first journal club, which is, again, another academic pursuit where doctors get together and talk about the timely articles that are coming out. So that's on Sir William. And he had said something that Renna had picked up on, and it kind of reminded her of her experience of this physician not listening to her, is that he said, listen to your patient. They will tell you the diagnosis. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And there was a patient that I had this past week where it all kind of came together for me. It was sometimes I know what the podcasts are going to be. We have them scheduled. And sometimes we have a week where it's sort of ad lib as we are inspired, we move forward in that direction. So We're going to talk a little bit about this young man. We're going to call him Kevin. We're going to talk a little bit about how Kevin touched me. And we're going to talk a little bit about listening to your patients. So a couple of things from my side of the world. Again, this is not from the paper. We'll take a deep dive on that paper later. But we're going to talk a little bit about listening to your patient, how your patient is already telling you what's wrong with them. And what's really important is that you have to talk to your patient, sure, ask questions, of course, but you also have to listen to them. Active listening creates trust. And last week's podcast was doing a deep dive on that paper of trust-based relationships, right? But we have to learn not just what's the matter with our patients, but what matters to our patients. And that's directly paraphrased from Renna and Len's paper. Taking the time to listen is another thing we really have to slow down. We're very busy. We're overworked. We're overburdened. The amount of documentation that we have to do, you know, Sir William Osler, first baronet, didn't have to do any of the documentation we do. I'm shocked that they even knew how to write. I mean, the amount of stuff we have to type. I mean, if a patient passes gas, we literally have to type it in the chart. That's the kind of environment we're in. But, you know, that's a challenge, but let's call it more of an opportunity for us to really slow down our practices and just take our time and listen to our patients. And all this technology and all of the computers, it's taking away from that act of listening, to actually listen to our patients. And we really need to kind of get away from that model and really go old school. And when you talk about listening, I break this down into three different categories. We have listening is words, right? We have to listen to the words of our patient. So Renna says to her doctor, "Doc, I'm septic. I think my stent is infected. I'm like my blood pressure is tanking. I'm really going into shock. You need to get me to the ICU ASAP." Like, these are words, and this guy just decided not to listen to her. But I mean, she's literally, it's not often that we have a patient who tells us their own diagnosis, but we talk about symptomatology. We talk about words. You know, my wife and I joke all the time, "How do you feel?" "Well, I have this chest pain. It's crushing. I feel like an elephant is sitting on my chest and the pain is radiating to my left arm and to my jaw, and I'm sweaty and I'm diaphoretic and I'm getting dizzy and I don't feel well. And I have this dysphoria." And, you know, of course that means I'm having a heart attack, right? Back pain. If you have really terrible upper back pain, it could be a dissecting, you know, aortic aneurysm. If you have a visual field defect, so say I'm looking straight ahead, but I'm not able to see peripherally, that means I must be knocking out, maybe I have a pituitary adenoma that's knocking out part of the optic chiasm that's causing that visual field defect. So when people talk and they tell you their symptoms, sometimes you could actually pick out the diagnosis. I have an aunt who I love to death. And for years, she was telling me she was hearing sounds and this and that, and she was getting dizzy. And I'm thinking, you know, my aunt's losing it. You know, she's like starting to lose it. Right. And as it turns out, she had an acoustic neuroma. These are all classic signs. And if she wasn't my aunt, I actually could have listened to her and really figured it out. I mean, it was really pretty easy to have picked up on that. And I didn't. But you really have to listen to words. You also have to listen to symptoms. So a patient, you know, keeps telling us, "Hey, doc, every time I get up in the morning and I stand up, I fall down and I faint." You know, okay, well, that makes sense. That's because you have what's called a vasovagal, syndrome or episode where all the blood is pooling in your legs. And as soon as you stand up, those valves in your leg aren't working anymore. And all of a sudden the blood falls down and it isn't getting to your brain and you pass out, right? So, okay, those are symptoms. If you get I see that you were digging a trench in order to deal with your woodchucks.
27 inches down, that's the cure.
So say, you know, you're hanging out with Rachel, you have your arm around her and you guys are watching a movie and Ariel's asleep and she's about to kiss you on your neck. And she looks and she goes, Angel, you have a bull's-eye's rash right here on your neck. What the heck? And then you realize that you got bit by a tick and you have Lyme disease, right? So, you know, another symptom, you know, another physical manifestation of disease.
Why is it when you say rash, people have to itch? I'm itchy.
Oh, I was going to, and let's talk about rashes. I was actually to do this podcast, doing my research, as I always do. I was looking at some of the childhood rashes that you're going to be seeing very soon in Dear Ariel. And you know, you see the rubella, and then you see the measles rash, you know, but boy, that measles rash, oh my God, it starts as a bunch of dots and then it becomes a confluent, you know, just your whole body is a big rash. I know you're itching. I know. I get you. What if like, you know, you're giving a hug to your daughter and you're caressing her, you know, as a dad does, and you notice her neck and you feel all these rubbery lymph nodes, you go, oh my God. But then you see, you know, somebody you don't like, who has this really big firm thing right on their neck. And there's a difference between those rubbery nodes that might be mono, a lymphoma or something. And then you have this hard rock, lymph node that's like a head neck cancer. So there's differences and there's subtleties to all these things. And then lastly, the name of our episode is called Hudson Valley Common Sense. And that's basically, you know, we're up here in the Hudson Valley and certainly things are changing up here, getting busier. But certainly when I came up here, it was a very sleepy, you know, rural area with a bunch of dairy farmers. And, you know, they had more common sense in their pinky than I had in my entire body. And that's kind of where this comes in, where I'm going to introduce you to Kevin. Now, Kevin obviously is not his real name, but Kevin came in to see me. I first met him in March. He was a young man who had the unfortunate situation of having both mental illness as well as having thyroid cancer. And his thyroid cancer and mental illness were both very complicated. And what I did was he came to see me for thyroid cancer. So I saw him as a thyroid cancer. I didn't really see him as a whole person. And he knew what buttons to push on me. And all I saw was, okay, here's a kid. He had this, and this is what you do for that. And that's all there is to it. Like I put him into this small box and that was the box. And if he didn't fit in that box, I didn't care because all I cared about was him practicing medicine on him the way I would do for any other thyroid cancer patient. But Kevin was much more complicated than that. For instance, things that I knew, but I didn't really put two and two together, was Kevin's mental illness and his depression and his anxiety. He even had some hallucinations and things caused him to overdose in a suicide attempt a few months before I met him. Wow. Kevin was very afraid of the thought of being radioactive and being isolated in a room and being alone. He had a lot of fears that I just ignored because he was in my thyroid cancer box. That was the box he was in. He had a couple of things I didn't like, and I wanted to give him a dose of iodine, and that was it. And that's all I really saw. I was not listening to him. I wasn't listening to his words, of course. And I wasn't listening to the common sense as far as what a patient is capable of doing. And sometimes you can be a great doctor and offer perfect recommendations, but if the patient cannot execute those recommendations, then you really haven't done your job. So here's a guy, a young kid, right? He's a young kid. And the best treatment for him wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to get this iodine pill. And that took me a few months to figure that one out. Then I tried to work him up the way we would for any other thyroid cancer. And that didn't work because he didn't want the shots and he didn't want this. He didn't want that. So now check this out. It took me 6 months and I went to his chart today there were 33 notes, journal notes, on him not coming for treatment, him missing his appointments, him refusing treatments, him not showing up. There were 33 notes over 6 months, and there were threats in my notes. We were going to transfer his care out. He wasn't listening. He wasn't compliant. Wow. And when my nurse came to me the other day, she said, guess who's coming in today? She said, our favorite patient, Kevin, is coming in. And this was after I read Renna's book. This was after, you know, I'm starting to develop, you know, this, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, this, getting back to the doctor-y that I want to be, right, for my patients. And what I'm, why I'm doing this podcast really is for cancer patients, for them, for their caregivers, as well as for their family members, right? I want to make sure that they know what to expect from their, from us as the medical field, and what they deserve from us. Absolutely. And I wasn't giving Kevin what he deserved. I was looking at him, but I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at his thyroid cancer, but I wasn't looking at the patient. I was wasn't looking at the whole patient. So while I was doing all of this that was pushing him away, while I was doing all of these things that I was trying to negotiate him to do things that really, in retrospect, he never was going to do, while I was creating an anxious and threatening environment for him, which is the last thing a suicidal patient needs to be put into, right? You want to make their mental illness better. You don't want to make it worse. Really, the only thing I really needed to do was I really needed to, now this is technical, I'm not going to get into the specifics, but say, all I really needed him to do was, if he was going to be compliant and take his medication every day, then we would have a fighting chance of keeping him whole, keeping him fine. So all of that rigmarole, all of that nonsense, all of that me trying to think, you know, that I'm trying to do the right thing, I'm really not doing the right thing. And I really should have been concentrating on him taking his medication. And I said to my nurse the other day, I said, because she thought that I was going to cancel his appointment. She thought I was going to say, we're done with this guy, send him a certified letter, we're going to kick him out of the practice, that's the end. I said, wow, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a different path on Kevin. We're going in a different direction. We are going to start from scratch. And we brought him in and I sat him down and I apologized. I said, Kevin, you know what we're going to do? We are listening to you. Here's what I need to do. You tell me if you can do this. I want you to take your medication every day. I want you to promise me you'll do that. And he said, I will. And I said, Kevin, will you have an ultrasound done? That's a machine that is not invasive. They just take some goo and they put this transducer on your neck. And I just want to look inside your neck to see, make sure there's no lymph nodes, there's no tissue in your thyroid bed. And he said, Doc, I can do that. And I said, one last thing. Will you have your blood? Can I get some blood on you? We're not going to do any shots. We're just going to draw a couple of vials of blood. Can you do that for me? And you know what he said, Angel?
What did he say?
Not a problem.
Wow.
Not a problem.
You listened.
I listened.
That's remarkable. And unfortunately, you know, we live in a day and age where some doctors don't. You know, just the other day, my mom went to visit a doctor. She's in a lot of pain. You know that. And I didn't even tell you this offline. So I'm telling you this on the air right now. So your reaction is going to be, I know it. You know, he's describing what's wrong with my mother and he's talking very big words. So my mom wanted to write down the name of what he was calling the issue. And so she said, can you do me a favor? Can you write that down for me? Because I really won't remember. He says, I don't have time to write that down. We're mailing it out to you. So why don't you just wait?
Wow. See, that's what's got to change.
Can you guess if she's going back to that doctor?
No, I won't let her. As a matter of fact, don't tell me his name or I would open up a can of whoop ass over here in the parking lot on it.
Yeah. You know, and you know, and the thing about it is it made my mom uncomfortable. She cried the whole way home.
Aye.
And she even contemplating on going to another doctor while she's in all this pain.
Yeah.
So no, it's with Kevin.
You know what? God bless you, Renna. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Boy, every word in your book, every chapter, every experience is an eye opener. And thank you, Kevin, for this great lesson. And thank you for inspiring me to begin a new module on the listening module. Tommy, can you hear me? So Angel, you have any last parting words? I told you this was going to be a short and sweet one.
I think it was a great story, but I think we need to remind our viewers, because we touched base on Renna's episode with us. We were going to take the opportunity that if you are on our Twitter and you let us know how you thought about the episode, you said yourself, we bought a box full of these books, which is her book, and we're going to be providing that to the viewers.
Yeah, no, I want, there will be nothing happier. It'll be the best money I ever spent. Please, everybody, Croc Nation, you really should read this book. Not, and again, not that Renna is a cancer survivor. She's a global survivor. And I think she has a lot of things to teach you guys. Again, I think she is going to be one of the most influential physicians in the upcoming decades. I think that this is not going to be the last time you hear from her on this podcast, but more than that, you're going to see her on TV. You're going to see her doing TED Talks. I mean, this woman is going to change the world. So please contact me, contact Angel. Let us give you this gift. Let us give you this book.
And for those of you that are out there, this is your first episode. This is the Croc Nation. This is the Croc Podcast. We are available on Twitter. The Twitter account is very simple. If you have Twitter, search for us. It's at Croc VIP. Another way of getting a hold of us is by taking a look at our actual Facebook page. It's facebook.com/CrocVIP. We have our own webpage where you can watch all the episodes. And one day, coming soon to a YouTube near you, we're going to have the Croc Podcast video Zoom versions. And that's going to be something else. I can't wait for that.
Unfortunately, Angel, you and I have perfect faces for radio and for Zoom. Not well, sure about YouTube, but listen.
That's where I come in.
You're going to see what we look like.
A lot of filters.
I want to take a minute before we close. And again, our gratitude shout outs. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin, the greatest friend, buddy, co-host, producer, human being. I think, Angel, the world of you. If I had a little brother, I would wish him to be you. I listen to your podcasts, although I'm a bit behind on them. Sometimes I'll binge listen to them. They're very moving, very inspiring. I really encourage everyone to do that. Can you tell them how they could listen to your podcast?
Same as us. You know, we use the same platform. We thank Spreaker for allowing us on their platform, that with also in conjunction with iHeartRadio. So you can listen to any platform that has podcasting. You can look and search the Croc Podcast. You can search my podcast, Have Faith, Let It Begin. You have an opportunity to subscribe. And guess what? Here's the best part. It's free. It's not like you have to pay to listen to us. Well, thank God they don't have to pay to watch us. But
yeah, no, you know, that's actually a really good point. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest criticisms I always got over the decades from my board members was that I never wanted any money from anybody. If you gave us a donation, we would gladly accept it, but we never passed a hat. We never asked for anything. So when we have this free giveaway, please take advantage of it. We don't want anything from you. We're not going to put you on a mailing list. We're not going to bother you. We legitimately, genuinely, from our hearts, you know, just want to serve you. And it's not about us. It's about you guys. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Rod is one of the nicest and greatest men we know. He's been so great to the Croc Nation. Literally works for peanuts. Don't tell him that or he'll raise his price. But he's just been a magnificent resource for us. If you want to reach Rod, how will they do that, Angel?
Well, that's the Small Biz Up, and it's actually available right here on our, every time you click on our podcast, there's a little link that says the description. You always want to read the description before you listen to the episode, or if you're like me, you don't want to be surprised, just play it. But to answer the question, it's www.smallbizup.com. That's Rod Freeman, and you can take advantage. He's unbelievable. He works miracles.
Yeah, for all you proc survivors, if you want to blog, if you want to start a little business, if you want to journal, if you want to start your own podcast, I mean, if Angel and I could do it, anybody could do it, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, go after him, you know, go find Rod, and he's very reasonable. You know, one of the things that I think that scares people is when they talk about hiring a vendor for technology, they think it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars. You know, Rod's really all about you guys. He's really about the small biz, that the right Small Biz Up. That's what he's all about. He doesn't want to work with AT&T. He doesn't want to work with Big Blue. He wants to work with us. He wants to work with you guys. Give him a shout out. Our friends from Hollywood, Michael John Benzea, we haven't had him on. We should drag him on an episode soon. And certainly his producer and best pal, Charlotte Larson, who we love. She's just a delight. What a great woman. I can't wait to see her again. I haven't seen her forever since the coronavirus. I understand her mom might be visiting. We'd love to meet her, grab a meal or something. That would be fantastic. And on behalf of my friend, Mr. Angel Santana, and your friend, Dr. Tommy Anelli, your croc survivorship bus driver, I want to end this podcast as I end every podcast. We want to wish you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. Please enjoy the day. Enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the summer. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.